Welcome, everyone, to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange Ask the Expert session. Today's topic is Exploring the Explorer. My name is David Long, and this session will give you the opportunity to speak to our panel of experts on a variety of subjects related to today's topic. Moving on to slide number two, the agenda. In today's session, we will start off by introducing our panel of experts to you. We will then move on to give you a brief introduction to today's topic. Next, our panel of experts will answer the questions that they provided. Then we will open the lines for live question and answer period. Finally, the session will end with a summary of today's session. Moving on to slide number three. At this time, I would like our panel of experts to introduce themselves for today's call, starting with Andre Clark. Please go ahead, Andre.
Hi, yes, my name is Andre Clark. I work in RTP, doing KICS Level 2, and I've been doing work in KICS since 2008, so about 5 years now.
Thank you, Andre. Next, we have David Neese. Please go ahead, David.
Hiya. As David said, my name is Dave Neese. I'm based in Hursley in the UK, and I'm a developer on the KICS and ZOS Explorer products. I've been in the team since 2010, and I've been at IBM since 2004.
Thank you, David. And finally, we have Stuart Francis. Please go ahead, Stuart.
Hiya, my name is Stuart Francis. I'm also based in Hursley. I am the KICS Explorer Strategy and Planning Lead, and I'm the Technical Lead for KICS and ZOS Explorer. I've been working on KICS Explorer for about 5 years and at IBM for 7.
Thank you, Stuart. Before we get to the question and answer period, our panel would like to give you a technical overview of the topic. Moving on to slide number four. Please go ahead, Andre.
Hi, so this is just a brief introduction into some of the topics we'll be covering today concerning the Explorer. First is deployment, you know, ways to deploy the Explorer for your groups. Then we'll cover bundles, what is a bundle, how do you define a bundle, how do you create a bundle, things like that. And then connections, ways to preload the KICS Explorer with connections that you need to have defined. And finally, a section on sort of a compare and contrast between the ZOS Explorer and the KICS Explorer. And first we'll have David Neese, who will cover deploying the Explorer. So slide five, please.
Thanks, Andre. So I guess you're already aware roughly what KICS Explorer and ZOS Explorer are. Andre's going to cover that in a bit more detail later. But I guess one of the first questions that we often get after we explain the idea of KICS Explorer to people is, wow, that sounds really awesome. Now, where's the server version? And I guess I want to back up a bit from that, because maybe you've got that question too. So KICS Explorer and ZOS Explorer are both client applications in the same way as Lotus Notes, your kind of traditional word processor, or your spreadsheet. And I think people are happy with this, but one of the kind of issues that they're really coming at is that they want to be able to have control over the client. You know, what version of KICS Explorer are my users installing? How can I control the config? What can I do to make sure that you know, people are running the version I intend? We've got a red paper that I've been working on earlier this year. That's in draft. It's red paper 5054. And Andre's going to mention it a bit later, and there's a link to it in the notes for question five. So you'll see that a bit later. But quite a lot of what I'm going to kind of describe here is fleshed out in more detail in the red paper. So if you wanted to have a look at that, that would probably help if you want to kind of recap this. For KICS Explorer and ZOS Explorer, you've got to work out a way to get them from, the web, where we allow you to download them from, and onto your users' computers so that your users can double-click on them and run them. There are a few different ways that you can do this, and I'm going to cover them in the order, starting with the user having more control over what they do and finishing with the administrator having more control. So the simplest way to get hold of and install the Explorer products is to search for them or find your link to the download page and download them. And then to unzip or install simply on your computer KICS Explorer, or ZOS Explorer, and then for the user to choose their own plugins, whatever they want to install, and manage the install themselves. So that's the simplest mechanism for the user to make the decision about which version they want to. Okay, so which version they want to use. I think we're probably hitting slide six by now, are we? Or is there another space bar on this one? Yeah, thanks. So the kind of simplest mechanism is to unzip on the client desktop, and that gives the user their own control. And in the same way with ZOS Explorer, they could use a kind of basic installation manager. They run that on their desktop, and they have control over what's being used. Just moving on a little from that, you can do an unattended installation with Installation Manager, and that allows you as the administrator kind of to direct what happens. So you say, okay, I want the user to have ZOS Explorer, Kix Explorer, and these plugins. And once that unattended install has happened, the user is able to extend it themselves with whatever they choose. So it gives you a bit more control, but the user is still able to install extra things if they need to fulfill their job role. Heading on beyond that, you get to a point where you as the administrator have much more control over exactly what gets run by the user. So there are two main options for that. There's a network drive deployment and Java Web Start. For the network drive deployment, you set up Kix Explorer how you want to, and then you put it on a network drive and the users can access it from there. It's pretty simple to set up, and as with all of these techniques, there's some explanation in the red paper. But it uses quite a lot of network bandwidth, because each time the user double clicks on Kix Explorer, it has to be downloaded from the network. So if you've got remote users, sometimes that option doesn't work quite so well. Java Web Start, on the other hand, is harder to set up. It needs more technical skill, but it uses a lot less network bandwidth because the application is cached and only refreshed each time it changes. So working kind of within those, there are the two different products, ZOS Explorer and Kix Explorer, and you can get those in two different formats, P2 and Installation Manager. And depending on which one you want, you need to make the right choice. So if you want ZOS Explorer, primarily that comes in Installation Manager format. And if you want it in the standard P2 format, then you need to download Eclipse and install it as a plugin. Whereas with Kix Explorer, that comes mainly in the P2 format. And if you want to use that via Installation Manager, you would install ZOS Explorer and put Kix Explorer as a plugin on top. The choice as to which of those you choose is going to be dictated to by whether you want to use Java Web Start and Network Drive, in which case you probably need to follow the P2 route, or whether you want to be able to do the Installation Manager unattended installation. So really you need to decide on your end goal, how you wish to be deploying, and from there that's going to help you understand which technology you need to use. So I think that's a basic idea of how you might deploy Explorer. I'm going to hand over now to Stu, I think on slide 7, and he's going to talk to us about putting connections into Kix Explorer. Stu.
Hi, thanks, Dave. So how to get Explorer onto a lot of desktops is one aspect of the issues you might face when you're considering how to roll out Kix Explorer in your organization. The next problem people seem to have a lot is they want to be able to define a set of connections to their Kix systems that will be shared between everyone in their organization, because everybody's connecting to the same things, so can they define them once so that they don't put the burden on their users for how to do that. So I'm going to explain the options you have for achieving that in Kix Explorer. Now, this doesn't just apply to the Kix connections. If you're using ZOS Explorer with any of the plugins, like Interdependency Analyzer or Performance Analyzer for Kix Explorer, this applies to all of their connections equally as well, so the generic connection support that ZOS Explorer provides. So can we move on to slide 8, please? So the first, the way Kix Explorer supports this is you can create an XML file which has all your connections in, and this file can then be shared between a load of users who have Kix Explorer installed. Now, there are several mechanisms by which they can do this. you can either share the connections file by putting it locally on their system and they can link it into Kix Explorer, or you can put the file remotely on a web server and they can link it into Kix Explorer from there. So the first thing you'll need to do is create a connection preferences file. Now the way you do that is you take a standard Kix or ZOS Explorer install and you define all the connections that you want to share in that workspace. So you have them all set up in your host connections view. Once you've done that, there's a button in the host connections view which will allow you to export those connections to a file. So you can take all the connections from that Kix Explorer and put them in a file on disk. Then you have the problem, how do you get the connections in that file into the Kix Explorers that all of your users have got deployed? So you've got a few options, and it depends kind of what your deployment looks like. The first thing you can do is you can just send them the file by email or by copying it to them. Then they can take that file and they can manually import it into their Kix Explorer. So this will work well if you don't have a great number of users using Kix or ZOS Explorer. So there's a button in Kix Explorer which does import, and then they can point Kix Explorer at that file and it'll load all the connections. Now, the interesting thing about the connections you take into Kix Explorer is you've got two options of how you load them. The connections can either be loaded, in which case you point at the file, and Kix Explorer's point of view is someone else has created this file, someone else owns the connections, I'm not allowed to modify them. And that's based on the predicate that at some point you might get an updated version of that file. Now, we don't want to have to deal with reconciling any of your changes to that file, so what you can do is just copy a new version of that file on top of the old one. And then you can hit refresh and Kix Explorer will look at your updated list of connections. And that's the version we recommend. Your other option is you can, after clicking the import button, you can select to do an import. And what that does is takes the connections from that file and copies them into your Kix Explorer so they become your connections and you own them. So that's good for seeding your connections initially so that you can go ahead and modify them in the future. You don't have to just use a local file. You could, for instance, take that file and put it on a network drive. So if you didn't want to have to go through the burden of taking that file and distributing it to everyone, you can achieve that by putting it on a network drive, and Kix Explorer can load that connection file directly from there. So that way, whenever you replace the file on the network drive, your users can refresh within Kix Explorer and get the latest updated version of those connections. The third option you have is in the box where you're specifying the address for that file, you can actually put address to a file that's hosted on the web server. Once you've put your Explorer preferences file on a web server, Kix Explorer will load it from there. Now, Explorer will actually keep a cached copy, so if your web server goes down or isn't contactable, you'll still have the connections available. But when Kix Explorer has visibility of that connections file again, you can refresh and get an updated version. So if you already have a web server, maybe this is a pretty good option. Now, the third thing, and this one is probably the most relevant for deployments, is if you are taking a installation of Kix Explorer and copying it out to a load of users on your network, one of your options is Kix Explorer has a default connection preferences file. So if you create a file in the root of your Kix Explorer install called connections.pref, then Kix Explorer will always look there for connections. So if you've got like a read-only installation of Kix Explorer on a network drive or you're deploying one via Java Web Start, this is maybe a good option. The only thing you have to bear in mind if you're using Java Web Start is if you want to change your connections, you'll have to change your entire deployment and your users will have to re-download all of Kix Explorer again. Maybe an interesting thing to note about hosting your connections on a web server is if you put your connection preferences file in HFS, you can actually use Kix to serve that file by creating a URI that which points at that file. There is a linked DeveloperWorks article which will explain a bit more about how you can host a file on the web server, which is in the slide. And now we are moving on to slide number 9. So now I'm going to talk a little bit about Kix Bundle Projects. So Kix Bundle Projects are artifacts that you can create in Kix Explorer, and you can use them to define resources to Kix. So the life cycle of a Kix Bundle is from within Kix Explorer, you create a new project, and within that project, then you can create that project as a Kix Bundle. Now once you've done that, within that bundle project, you can create new resource definitions. And What you then do with your Kix bundle project is when you're connected to Kix and ZOS from within your Kix Explorer, you'll be able to export that Kix bundle to HFS, and then within Kix, you'll be able to point at that bundle, and then you can install it, and then the resources that you defined in that bundle will be available to Kix. So I guess it behaves not in an entirely dissimilar way to a group in CSD, for example. You can take a collection of resources and install them all at the same time. The interesting distinction between a CSD group and a Kix bundle, or one of them, is that the resources in a Kix bundle can be lifecycled together. So it's not just about installing the resources. Once you've installed them, those resources know that they are installed from a Kix bundle. So if you go find your bundle in Kix and disable it, then the resources in that bundle will also be disabled. So you don't just have to define new resources in a Kix bundle. You can also declare dependencies, and that's useful for establishing conditions that need to be true for the resources in that Kix bundle to work. For instance, you might say that I need a JVM server so that I can install my Kix, my Java OSGI bundle. So not all resources can currently be defined within a bundle. So you'll find that a lot of the resources that you can define in a bundle are the newer types of resources. So we're talking things like OSGI bundles and OSGI services, and event bindings and EP adapter sets. Now, these resources can only be defined in bundles and can't be defined in CSD or in DREP. Increasingly, as we move through releases, we are making more resources able to be defined within bundles. So at the moment, you can also define things like programs and libraries in bundles as of KixDS with the latest APARs applied. So you'll need Kix Explorer 5.1.1 to be able to do that. But the list of resources that you can define in a bundle is growing. Now, one of the other important aspects of Kix bundles is they form the building blocks for Kix applications as defined by for Kix Cloud activity. So an application is made up of a collection of Kix bundles and can be installed into a platform. And the platform can also declare other Kix bundles which are available within that platform. One of the other interesting aspects of Kix bundles is that they can also be versioned. So you can have a Kix bundle, and when you introduce incompatibility into that Kix bundle compared to an earlier version of it, you can reflect that in a version number. And that version number is available at runtime, so you can see what's going on in that Kix bundle. So that's a bit about what Kix bundles are. So now I'm going to talk about why you'd want to use them. So I guess a lot of it, you'll be motivated by the types of resources you're wanting to define. If you are defined, so there are some things that you won't be able to define any other way, and you'll have to use a Kix bundle for those. So that's things like your OSGI bundles and services and your event bindings. One of the other interesting aspects of Kix bundles is because they are resources that you create in a project in Kix Explorer, they're files that go on disk of your local computer. You have additional options that you don't necessarily have through traditional means for sharing those. So one of the interesting aspects is that you can use version control to do that. Can we move to slide 10, please? So there is actually an interesting link to how you can use version control for managing your Kix bundle resources. David Neves is actually going to talk a bit about that later on. You'll also have to use Kix bundles if you want to do any application or platform activities. Because of the nature of application and platform and that modularity, you will have to use Kix bundles to deploy your resources, and they allow you to lifecycle your resources together. Okay, can we move on to slide 11, please? So I'm now going to hand over to David Neves, who's going to tell you about how to manage your bundle project.
Brilliant. Thanks, Hugh. You preempted me there. So probably when you hear about bundle projects, you're kind of trying to work out how they relate to what happened before and how you're going to react to this. So I guess before you're used to managing your definitions in a CSD repository or a BAS repository, maybe you're using Kix Configuration Manager to version control definitions. And you're probably used to doing any backups on your server because that's where the kind of canonical or the most complete master version of your definitions are. So bundle projects represent a little bit of a difference from that. Can you push on to the next slide, please? So bundle projects are created in Kids Explorer, as Stu's explained, and the master or canonical version is in Kids Explorer. What this means is that when you export them to HFS to use them, you potentially can't import them back into Kids Explorer. Data is kind of thrown away as part of the export process. A good example of this is if you make an OSGI bundle project with some Java code in it. When you export to the server, we compile that Java code. And if you try and import the bundle back in, that Java code isn't there anymore because it got compiled. In terms of other Kix definitions and files that are in the bundle project, the guidance there is that the version in Kix Explorer is the master copy, the canonical version, and it's perfectly possible that data won't persist through export there as well. So one of the big ramifications of this is that you need to be careful to store the data safely that's created within Kix Explorer and that relates to bundle projects. The good news is that the support in Eclipse is good for version controlling source files. In fact, if you already have some Java code, if you already work with Java code, you're probably already doing version control, and you can just use the same mechanism to version control your bundle projects. If you're not already doing it, then I've got a few tips. And in fact, Ben Cox, one of the engineers within the Kix team, has written a really good DeveloperWorks article about it. And there's a link in the slides. So if you're interested, it's a really good walkthrough. But I'm just going to kind of summarize here. Essentially, the bundle projects are files on disk on your client, and you can version control them however you might choose to version control files on disk. You could use some backup software, or you could use a standard version control system like Rational Team Concert, Git, Subversion, whatever you've chosen to use. And actually, most of the version control software, the modern ones, have an Eclipse plugin which allows you to manage your files really effectively from within Eclipse. And then this is really the perfect way to keep control of those source files and to share them between members of a team as well. So the team integration within Eclipse is really best shown by example, and there are pictures in the DeveloperWorks article, so I would really recommend that you have a look at that if this is something you're interested in. Okay, so that's the importance of managing your bundle projects and keeping control of them. I'm going to hand over to Andre now on slide 13 to talk us through when you're coming to download Kix and Zos Explorer, the choice you might make and where you might make it. Thanks, Andre.
All right, slide 13, please. So question 5, what is the ZOS Explorer and how does it relate to the Kix Explorer? Slide 14, please. Okay. So ZOS Explorer, it allows you to connect to a number of IBM ZOS Explorer mainframe systems to create, edit, administer, and delete artifacts, including data sets, Unix files, and ZOS jobs. It's not just limited to one ZOS-related product. To minimize the number of separate tools and products required to be installed on a system, the Explorer acts as an integration platform for installing tools to manage a number of different products like Kix, DB2, Webster MQ, and IMS. And this is where the ZOS provides the biggest plus, because it allows you to use tools all within one concise product. You don't have to switch between different applications that you have running. You can keep everything within one, under one umbrella, and allows you to manage a number of different things at the same time. Next slide, slide 15. So here we'll discuss a little bit about the Kix Explorer. So as I said before, the ZOS Explorer is sort of the big umbrella, and Kix Explorer is something that you can add on to that. It can be deployed within the ZOS Explorer, and it's a simple tool that can be used to manage all of your Kix systems in your region. So this is very just, Kix specific. It allows you to view and manage the Kix regions, Kix TS regions, and Kix pluses, and it gives you a platform for the integration of Qix tools such as QixEye, Interdependency Analyzer, Configuration Manager, and tools like that. It also facilitates the development of OSGI applications within a Qix JVM server, which is what David alluded to in his previous questions about bundles. And, you know, all of this information is available within the Red Book that David created that he referenced in his introduction. It's a really good Red Book that he's still working on right now. It's called Managing the IBM Explorer for ZOS and Qix Explorer Deployments Across the Enterprise. And it's RADP-5054-00. And this expounds further on the subject and has information on how the Explorer can be deployed, set up, and other information that you'll need concerning the ZOS and the Qix Explorer. So now I'll pass it back to David Long for any questions.
Thank you. I'd like to thank our panel of experts for answering the pre-submitted questions. At this time, we would like to open the lines for a live question and answer period.
And I'm showing no questions in the queue.
Thank you.
Hi, David. I noticed there's a question in the chat from Gail, so I'm going to go ahead and answer that, if that's okay.
You can go ahead.
Okay, so this is Stu from the Qix Explorer team in Hursley. So Gail's question is, when will the Qix Explorer have the resource assignment definitions and other WUI features added? So Qix Explorer is always growing and always evolving, and the longer Qix Explorer has been around, we always add more support for new features. So you'll see in future releases, one of the things we always concentrate on between releases of Qix Explorer is making it possible to do more of the things in Qix Explorer that people need to do every day. So our main vehicle for working out what the most popular things that people want to do are, we have an RFE database. So I will make sure that David has a link that he can send to people. But that is absolutely the best way to get to contact our team so that we prioritize features accordingly. So that is actually what we look at release to release to work out what the most important content is that we can put in. So if you raise RFEs for the things that you're interested in, then your voice will definitely be heard. So I definitely recommend you do that for new features.
At this time, I would like to advance to slide number 18 and pass the presentation over to David for a summary of today's presentation.
Hey, yeah. Hey, it's Dave Neese again. So I'm just going to go through in summary what we've been through with at the end of my summary. I'm just going to give you a few ideas about how you can get in touch with us, excuse me, if you need to. So I guess covering it in a slightly different order, the first kind of topic was why you would choose DOS or Qix Explorer, and the way you're going to make that decision is by considering whether you want to work with DOS systems only or whether you need to manage Qix systems. We then went on to look at how you might deploy DOS and Qix Explorer. And again, the key thing here is to make the decision about whether you need the control, whether your users need the control, and things like whether they're going to need to install plugins. And after that, we would recommend that you go and have a read of the red paper. We went on to look at how you might share connections between users. There are two facilities. There's the load facility, which allows you to refresh from a central source. And there's an import facility, which just gives you a kind of one-off copy of each connection. You can host both of these on web servers, network drives, or as a file in a custom zip package, if that's how you're deploying Qix Explorer. We talked about bundle projects, how they can group resources together and lifecycle them. Our new mechanism for packaging and managing applications and their dependencies. We talked about how you can manage and share them with version control and how important it is that you treat the artifacts carefully that are contained within Qix Explorer. So if you, if you've got more questions, you need some more in-depth help, we are usually willing to join advocacy calls if you get in touch with your Qix advocate. We can take some simple questions on our Qix Explorer forum. If you do a web search for Qix Explorer forum, it's on DeveloperWorks and fairly easy to find. Obviously, if you've got more in-depth questions, you might need to open a PMR or raise a PMR Q&A. And then we covered the future direction of Qix Explorer briefly with Gail's question. If you want to influence the future direction of Qix Explorer, we've got the RFE program. We have a beta program that you could join. That can give you some better access to our future plans than we're able to give in these kind of forums. And we have a design partnership for those customers who want to be more involved with shaping the future of Case Explorer. If you're interested in the beta program or the design partnership, then do speak to your advocate. Brilliant. Thanks, David.
Thank you, David, for the great summary. At this time, we will conclude the Ask the Expert session. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation and hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on the site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and a sincere thank you to our panel of experts for presenting today.